when I'm preaching as part of a series, which is basically based on the kingdom of God. So we look based on this verse that's coming up, hopefully, in due course. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So we're looking at the kingdom of God, this other kingdom that we are now members of. God's kingdom is where God rules. And from the cross and resurrection, this kingdom has been slowly invading the world. And if the cross shows us anything, it shows us that God's kingdom works very differently to the world around us. Everything about it is different. It's an upside-down, topsy-turvy, right-way-up kingdom, as we'll see in our passage for today. So our passage for today is Matthew 18, verses 1 to 4. If you've got a Bible, you're welcome to open it. And we're going to look at this. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." Now, this passage often gets used as a basis for describing the importance of ministering to our children, and that is really important. After all, it says, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." We are called to receive children and to show them what God is like. But this passage is probably more about life in God's kingdom. And Jesus, being the master theologian, says an awful lot in a very short time. And this, basically, the sermon is a meditation. What does it mean to be a child in God's kingdom? In fact, Jesus goes further elsewhere. He says you have to be born into God's kingdom. Don't marvel that I said you must be born again. You can't drift in. You can't demand to be let in. You have to give up your current life to get a new one. Thankfully, being born again isn't dependent on physical age. You can be born afresh into God's kingdom at any age. If you want to learn how to do that, then there are members of the prayer team, members of the leadership team, many pastors who will be very happy to help you to understand and to be born again. Okay, so what is it then that makes it so important to receive the kingdom like a child? What do children do so well? Well, they're really good at trusting. There's lots they know they don't know, and there's even more they don't know they don't know. They have to trust others. It's only because we have to learn to navigate a fallen world that we stop trusting others quite so much. But God is utterly trustworthy. He's utterly trustworthy. And there's the problem, because we've forgotten how to trust. We have to learn all over again what it means to really trust. And that can be hard, because rebuilding trust is much harder than not losing it in the first place. And if we're all honest, we've learned how not to trust. The second part of this passage comes into play here. Whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea. We understand the evils of child abuse, how it scars people and can leave them with an emotional limp for the rest of their lives. But religious abuse is just as bad. There are some here who have faced that, and it can leave them with a spiritual limp, unable to go into areas because of the pain they experienced and the confusion they experienced trying to go there. This is why we need to be careful with each other. Each of us is very precious. precious to God and precious to each other. It's why I stand before you in fear and trembling when I preach, praying that my words may do good and not harm. Whatever it is, therefore, that blocks us from trusting, I beg that we take it to God. It's very simple. Lord, it's too big for me. Daddy, please deal with it for me. That's the basis of trusting, taking God at his word. And God's kingdom is all about trusting him. The problems arise when we start saying, okay, I've got this, I can do this, and we start heading off in our own strength. It's not that we can do more as we grow, it's that we act like we don't need God. It's also why God keeps bringing things across our path that are too big to us, but we'll come back to that. Okay, so I'm going to give you three reasons, because I'm a preacher. Okay, you have to have three, but there are probably more, why we think we can't trust God. We think God doesn't know. He's too busy on other things. We think he doesn't care. And we think he can't deal with it. Everything about him wants the best for us, even if we don't know what it is, really. Sorry, I skipped. The first is easy to deal with. He doesn't know. Well, tell him. Second's easy too. He doesn't care. God is love. Everything about him wants the best for us, even if we don't know what that really is. And the third is he can't deal with it. That's easy too. God's all powerful, not subject to time or limitation. So if it's all so easy, why do we have trouble trusting God? Why do we have trouble trusting him with every area of our lives? Think about something that you are struggling to trust God with at the moment. It might be something big, it might be something small. Does God know? We can get stuck thinking that we are too insignificant, that the thing I'm struggling with is too small, that God wouldn't be interested in it. I'm not important or special or I'm too sinful. Jesus came to say, yes, you're special, God loves you. And he's deeply interested in you. So you can take it to him. Does God care? Is what I'm facing important to God, or are his ways so much higher than mine that it's pointless to bring things to him? The problem is that we have expectations of how God will deal with what we bring him. And when those expectations aren't met, we feel hurt. God, you've got to do it my way. God goes, not really. Perhaps one way forward is to give up trying to dictate to God how he deals with our problems and fall back harder onto his love. This is the area I struggle most with. I'm a why kind of guy. Never really grew past three. Why does God allow this, that, or the other? Why? And ultimately, God has had to say to me, look, Martin, I'm God around here and you're my child. You let me be God, and I'll let you be my child. That'll work much better than the other way around. And I had to agree. Okay, can God do it? The world is a complicated place. I can't see a solution to my problem. Then surely there isn't one. Or we say, I can see a solution, then I should just get on with it. Wrong and wrong, sort of. First one, I can't see a solution. Well, that doesn't stop God from seeing a solution. He's much more clever, creative, and powerful than I am. And therefore, even if I can't see a solution to my problems, I can still give them to him with an expectation that he'll do something about them. Do we sometimes say, oh, well, there's no solution to this. I've got to find some sort of way to deal with it, rather than going to God first and saying, Lord, help. The getting on with it and not troubling God thing is a bit more subtle. It gets to the heart of human agency. Jesus came only doing what he saw his Father doing. There's a focus to our agency and its obedience. Our heart's desire is to be doing what God wants us to be doing. Sometimes that's clear, but we still need to be open to being wrong in that clarity. More often, God is using our problem as an opportunity for relationship with us. And that's the point. the relationship, not the problem. So does that mean we just sit back and expect God to wait on us hand and foot? Well, you can try, but God's not fooled. Just like most parents, really. Life with God is active and interactive. It really is a relationship. We really are his children. It's not a set of rules. It's love and it's life. It's being a child. Okay, what else are children good at? Children have an uncomplicated view of life. Their hearts are simple, and trusting God really is uncomplicated. We tend to complicate things because our hearts become complicated and compartmentalized. I'll trust him here. I've got this. Don't need to trust him here. Or this. Not sure I can give him that. We'll let God rule here, but only so far. We'll let him trust him as far as it means until... I'll let God go so far, but not if it means I suffer, or I'm embarrassed, or I become poor, or he takes me to that country, or asks me to be single, or asks me to be married, and so the list goes on. Don't know what yours is. It can take years for God to expose the deeper recesses of where we won't let him go, and then for us to be willing to let him in. We may have to fight with ourselves to regain a simplicity of trust. We may have to fight with ourselves to become children again. Doesn't matter how mature we are, there's always the world, our flesh, and the devil trying to mess things up. We have to fight those too. It takes us back to trusting again. What else are children good at? Children play. They mess around and try things out. They find things they like to do and things they don't. They climb trees and break legs, or at least they did until we took away the trees. It's how they learn, and they have fun doing it. When was the last time you had fun? God's kingdom is similar. God takes risks with us. He gives gifts to people, and they get to play with them as they learn how to use them. And he gives them to the most unlikely of people, sometimes by our standards, the wrong people. But he still gives them to people for all kinds of reasons. Do you know what God has given you? Who are you? What do you like doing in his kingdom? If you don't know, I would encourage you to pray and to talk to otherwise Christians who maybe see things in you that you can't see. Maybe you've been hurt using a gift God gave you and you've stuck it in a drawer and forgotten about it. What about getting it out and asking God what he might do with it? What new things might God want to be showing you? It's a big kingdom. I'm sure you haven't searched out all the corners. Or perhaps you lack capacity. Your life is full and you're still discovering new things in God. You're still discovering new things in God. It can be risky to try something new, but worth it. It reinvigorates us. It's exciting. Learning something new. It puts us back dependent on God again. It reminds us that we're children, that really God is our Father. So, some places to look. Digging into Scripture is fun. Are you digging into Scripture? Is it fun for you? Worship is fun. Listening to others and praying for them is fun. Telling people about Jesus is fun. Running the sound desk is fun. Setting up services is fun. Teaching is fun. Dealing with money is fun. Okay, may not be all of those are fun for you, but they're fun for somebody. There's something for you in God's kingdom that he wants you to be involved in. He wants you to have fun, to embrace his world. Children, go for it. So is life all about having fun? I don't think Jesus was having fun on the cross. But he intended it for fun. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross. There's plenty of suffering that happens in the kingdom, both for us and for others. And that's by definition not fun. But joy is a hallmark of God's kingdom, and we should embrace it. Yes, but I don't have time to play. I have so much on my plate and I'm run down and it's smoke season and our family's in quarantine. I would love to have fun. As with all things in God's kingdom, the good stuff is contested. God's kingdom is contested. Being a child will be contested. We also live in different seasons. Complex issue. Okay, what else are children good at? One last one. They grow. At least we hope they do. If a child isn't growing, there's something wrong. If a child doesn't grow physically, there's definitely something wrong. We want to see our children growing physically, socially, spiritually, in knowledge and skill, and so on. How does this compare with God's kingdom? Where we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. Okay, here's a few signs of maturity. They're my random list. I'm sure you can think of more. Let's try some of them. Learn to be content in all circumstances, Philippians 4. For I have learned in whatever situation, notice I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Something we have to learn. Here's an obvious one. Bearing fruit, Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Still. The thing about the fruit of the Spirit is it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not something we can go, I'm going to generate a piece of fruit. It's something that the Spirit brings out in our lives. Having a Christ identity, Galatians. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. Not me. Our life isn't about us anymore. But Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It can probably be argued that all progress in the Christian life can be interpreted in the light of our identity in Christ. That Christ may be all in all in us. At learning the voice of God, the sheep follow him for they know his voice. A stranger they won't follow, for they don't know the voice of strangers. Or putting to death the old man, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. That's a complex verse, but we get the idea. How about outward focused? Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body that is the church. Well, there's a nice list, and I think it's probably safe to say that there's at least something there that you can grow in. In my case, probably all of them. On the other hand, it's not impossible to start. So one final thought on being God's children. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. What a glorious future awaits us. So much in one simple idea. While we are called to grow, we will always remain children of God. Even Jesus remains God's Son. We are always his children. We never grow out of being his children. We can always come to him and find acceptance. We can always bring anything to him. We are called to trust him uncomplicatedly. We still get to play and grow. See what kind of love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. So we're about to have communion, and as we enjoy communion together, let us open our hearts to God and acknowledge our childlike status before him, and just enjoy him and his being our Father, that we can trust him completely. What does he want to say to you? What do you want to say to him? Perhaps you've forgotten how to play or to have simple trust in him. As we stand at the foot of the cross as dearly loved children, let us open hands of trust to him and let him lead us. And watch as the risen Christ comes and puts his hand in yours and walks you into the future he has for you. Amen.
We're going to take communion at this time. And I feel that as a privilege for each and every one of us as we're gathered here this evening, worshiping, praising the Lord, to now take communion together. CMC practices an open communion. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ as the one true God and you call on his name, we welcome you to participate in communion. If the ushers would come forward,